Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we're looking at the tribulation period as described in Matthew 24, verses 16 through 28. Up to this point, we've looked at verses 16 through 20, which exhorts the believers at that time to flee to the mountains when they see the abomination of desolation mentioned in verse 15. Today we'll look at how the scriptures focus on the city of Jerusalem itself and the nation of Israel during this period. And we'll look at three specific points. One, the general nature of verses 16 through 20. Number two, the reason Israel is the focus. And number three, specific scriptures mentioning Israel and Jerusalem in the tribulation period. So the first point is a general nature of verses 16 through 20. And what we find here is that the focus is on Jerusalem. That's why he says in verse 16, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Because remember, Jerusalem was in Judea. And verse 15 mentions the abomination of desolation. And he says, spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. That holy place is a reference to the temple, which will be rebuilt in the last days. The Antichrist is going to stand in the holy place, which will be in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Then he says, flee to the mountains. Notice he doesn't say to flee La Mirada, where I'm from, or flee Los Angeles, or flee New York. He says, but flee Judea and ahead for the mountains, because that's where it's all going to center. And everything else in that setting, which we looked at yesterday, focuses on the nation of Israel and Jerusalem. Verse 17 speaks about being on the housetop, because that's the way the homes were made in that day. Also, verse 18 speaks about working out in the field. Don't even go back to get your cloak, but flee to the mountains. Verse 20 speaks about your flight not being in winter, which make it harsh, or on the Sabbath, which was very Jewish in nature. So here we see that these verses focus on life as it would be there in the land of Israel, and it's time for them to flee out of Judea or out of Jerusalem when they see the abomination of desolation take place. The second point I'd like to look at today is the reason Israel is the focus. And I find it interesting that even today there's so much hatred and anti-Semitism against the nation of Israel at this point. Wherever they have gone around the world, they have been persecuted. And that is the reason there is a nation of Israel today, other than the supernatural work of God, is that Jews from all over the world have been persecuted, have been ill-treated. They wanted to come back to the land to rebuild their nation and to have a safe place. Even in Russia, where many Jews have survived, they have been persecuted even unto this day, and many fled out of Russia when they had the opportunity to come back to the land of Israel. And this is something more than just a human factor. It's not just a human evil in the heart of man which brings persecution upon the Jews, but it is demonically inspired. And the reason being is that God has made some promises to the nation of Israel, starting way back in Genesis chapter 12 to Abraham. And he promised to give him a land and to make him a great nation. And Satan has been opposing that ever since that point. Plus the fact that John chapter 4, verse 22, a very important scripture on the subject, Jesus said, salvation is of the Jews. So if Satan could wipe out the nation of Israel, he could wipe out the salvation of God, because the Messiah had to come from the line of David. And God's plan was to raise up a nation which he could work through and bring his purposes of saving mankind through that one nation, and then that spreading to the rest of the world, to the utter parts of the earth. And Satan has inspired hatred in the hearts of individuals to try and stop the nation of Israel. And this will intensify in the last days, according to Revelation chapter 12, where it says the devil realizes that he has but a short time, and then he goes and he persecutes the nation of Israel. But also the prophet Zechariah predicted this in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3, which reads this way. It says, it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. So the Lord says that I am going to make the Jerusalem like a heavy stone, and people are going to want to drive it away or throw it away, but those that come against it, even though it's all the nations of the world, would come against Jerusalem and Israel, they're the ones who are going to experience utter destruction and utter defeat. This third area that we'll look at today, which we'll spend the rest of our time together with, is looking at specific scriptures mentioning Israel and Jerusalem there during the tribulation period. And if you would simply read through the book of Revelation, especially chapter 6 through 19, you'll see a strong focus upon the nation of Israel once again. You'll find a focus on the people, the land, as well as the vicinity there, that all the end times events are going to culminate there in the land of Israel. And I want to just quickly go through pointing out some of these scriptures which would focus on the nation of Israel in Jerusalem there during the tribulation period as seen in Revelation 6 through 19. One of the strongest places that we obviously find a very strong Jewish presence is Revelation chapter 7, which mentions the 144,000. And this is not the Jehovah's Witnesses that go door to door and claim to be part of that 144,000, but these are 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And it says that God is going to seal and protect 144,000 Jews during this tribulation period. And it says these are only the first fruits, or the first of many that will be saved during this time period. And the first four verses of chapter 7 read this way: "After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their forehead.' And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, and look at this, of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed." So if one of the Jehovah's Witnesses proclaimed to be part of the 144,000, simply ask what tribe are they from, because here they must be from one of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. But the main point here is that God is going to primarily work with the nation of Israel once again during this tribulation period. The church isn't in focus, because I believe we'll be raptured before the tribulation period starts, and then God will once again work and fulfill the promises that he made to the nation of Israel back in the Old Testament. And that's why the book of Revelation, the last book written of the Bible, has a strong emphasis on the nation of Israel, because it deals with the last day's events. And the book of Revelation was written approximately 90 to 96 AD, long after the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, long after the gospel had moved out of being a central focus in Israel, and in Jerusalem is beginning to move out to the ends of the earth and focusing on Gentile evangelism. The book of Revelation comes back and says, but God has one last work that he'll do in the nation of Israel, and that'll take place during the tribulation period. Then in Revelation chapter 11, we see two other things that focus on the land of Israel, and that is the temple and the two witnesses. And the first three verses read this way: "Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, 'Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there.'" And this is that temple that will be rebuilt during that tribulation period. "But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. That holy city is obviously Jerusalem. Right now, the church does not have a holy city because God's not focusing his work in any one community. It's worldwide. But the tribulation period will once again focus on the holy city of Jerusalem. And that's where he's going to send these two witnesses mentioned in verse 3. "And I'll give power to my two witnesses, and they'll prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." Now listen to the Jewish aspect, verse 4. "These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth." And it's interesting, the chapter goes on to describe how they're going to finish their testimony, then they're going to be put to death, and their bodies will lie in the street of Jerusalem, right there in the presence of everybody. Verse 8 says this: "And their dead bodies will lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." So these two prophets' ministry is going to focus there in Jerusalem. They're going to be killed there. Their bodies are going to lay in the street. Then later on in Revelation chapter 11, it says that God's going to raise them right in the presence of everybody so that all will be able to see. Also, Revelation chapter 12, which does need some study, speaks of a woman and a child and a dragon. The dragon is the devil, the woman is the nation of Israel, and the child is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And Revelation chapter 12 focuses on the devil persecuting the woman who is the nation of Israel. Then you find in Revelation chapter 14 a mentioning of the 144,000 again, and this time they're on Mount Zion again, which is another Jewish site. It says, "Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads." Then going on into Revelation chapter 16, that very familiar passage of Scripture, which speaks about the Battle of Armageddon. And Armageddon is there in the land of Israel where that last battle will take place. Verse 15 and 16 read this way: "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gather them together to that place in Hebrew called Armageddon." Then we find the second coming in Revelation chapter 19 will be in that valley. Also, Zechariah chapter 14 mentions that when the Lord comes back, his feet are going to stand upon the Mount of Olives, again, which is right there in Jerusalem, and will split in two and cause a great valley. Then even Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, the millennial reign of Christ, that thousand-year reign of Christ, centers there in Jerusalem as well, because John says this in verse 2, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So the New Jerusalem is going to come and descend over the old Jerusalem, and all is going to be made new for that thousand-year reign of Christ. So we see that the end times relates to the nation of Israel once again, and specifically the city of Jerusalem. One other passage that we must read, though, to get the whole context or the whole setting of what's going to happen, because it's not a good picture of what will happen there in Jerusalem, is Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. And these verses are tragic because it says that two-thirds of those there in Jerusalem are not going to make it. They're going to be cut off and die, and only one-third will make it through this persecution. Verses 8 and 9 read as follows, "And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I will bring one-third through the fire," and that's a picture of the tribulation period, "will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested." Here's the good news. "They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God." So two-thirds in the land will be wiped out, and one-third will make it through refined, purified, and tested, and they will call upon the name of the Lord as their God. That's what we saw in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. The day is great. It's a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So it's a good news, bad news situation for the nation of Israel and the focus on Jerusalem. The atrocities which have happened to the Jews up to this point are nothing compared, unfortunately, to what Satan will unleash. It'll be his fury against the nation of Israel, once again trying to wipe them out. But God's going to preserve them, protect them, and bring salvation to them and bring them back to himself. Then in the midst of that, he will come back and fight on their behalf and establish that millennial kingdom, focusing there in the city of Jerusalem. And so Jerusalem is definitely the focus of the tribulation period for both what the Antichrist is wanting to do as well as for what Jesus Christ will do. And the good news is that the Lord will establish his kingdom. He shall reign. He shall rule, because he is the one that is victorious now and forever. God bless you, and may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior.